too busy dying to live. Amen? That is the topic. Now, you let me know when you all have the place, because we're going to start together. Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. Okay, now listen, folks. The title of the message, look up, I'm going to tell you. Too busy dying. Amen. Too busy dying to live. In the book of St. Matthew, Jesus spoke these words. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Listen, folks, when I said the title of this message is Too Busy Dying, I'm talking about people that are too busy trying to get ahead in this life instead of serving Jesus, instead of going to the one that has life. Too busy with the cares and the pleasures of life. This is a thorny ground. Too busy seeking after pleasures of sin, which leads to death, than to take time to seek after Jesus to receive everlasting life. Do you hear me tonight?
Amen.
People are too busy with the cares and pleasures of this life, amen, than to seek after Jesus and everlasting life. They're too busy building bigger barns, too busy seeking money and possessions, which lead to death. Amen. Now, you can close your Bibles now. That's going to be the scriptures we have for right now. Amen. I'm going to quote scriptures to you, but you're not going to have to look them up. Too busy dying. This world is too busy trying to get ahead. This world is too busy with the things of life, too busy to serve God. They're too busy dying. Because if you don't serve the Lord, you're dying. If you don't come to Jesus Christ, you're dying. Amen. There's only one life, and that life is in Jesus. Jesus spoke a parable, and this parable he spoke about a man. And he said, take heed and beware of covetousness. Covetousness. In the Ten Commandments, the Word of God says, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's property. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not covet anything that belongs to thy neighbor. Amen. So we know that we should not covet. We should not desire to have what belongs to somebody else.
Amen.
Jealousy. You have envy. You desire, amen, to have their possessions. But the Bible says, for a man's life does not consist of the abundance of the things that he possesses. Very important. Your life isn't a success or a failure by what you have. Amen? That is not the way God looks upon success. That's not the way God looks upon life, by the things that you have. He spoke a parable, Jesus did, and he said, listen, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. In the days of Jesus, most people were farmers. So a farmer put out his crops, he planted his seed, and in this particular farmer, he was rich. And he put forth and he had plentiful crops. The harvest was large. And it was so large that that man thought within himself, what am I going to do? Because I don't have room enough to bestow my goods, my fruit, my vegetables, my garden. I don't have room enough to put my wheat. I don't have room enough to put what I have grown. And then he says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He says, I'm going to pull down my barns. I'm going to tear them down. And I'm going to build greater barns. And then I'm going to take all my goods and I'm going to stow my goods in these new bigger barns. People are too busy building bigger barns. People are too busy building bigger barns to put their goods in. And then that rich man said, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to say to my soul, soul, thou hast goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He was telling himself, man, I've got it made. I've got all my money. I've got all my property. I've got all my food. I've got all my clothing. I've got everything that's going to last me my whole life. And so now I'm just going to sit back. I'm going to take it easy. And not only that, I'm going to eat, and I'm going to drink, and I'm going to have a party. But God said to him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." He said, "You're going to die tonight. Then whose things will those things be which you have provided? So is every man that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Amen. Your life don't consist in the abundance of the things that you own and possess. Amen. People forget God. They forget the Lord Jesus Christ. People are too busy seeking after these things in this life to serve God. They're too busy dying. They're too busy trying to live the American dream. That American dream of a higher paying job, a newer house, new cars, new clothes, bigger vacations, bigger bank accounts. These things are all temporary. They're all temporal. They're going to fade away. The things that you can see, you can't trust. The things that you can see, they're going to fade away. Riches is going to disappear. But the things that you cannot see, the invisible things of God, they're eternal. They're forever. And the night, folks, too busy trying to get rich. Too busy trying to gain possessions. Too busy to take time to live for Jesus. Jesus is the true riches. Church, the world is too busy dying for gain.
Amen.
They're dying for gain. Money, possessions, too busy to live. To live is Jesus. To die for Jesus is even better. It's gain. Now, I'll make a question to you. What profit is a man if he gained the whole world and he loses his own soul? What would you take or what would you give in exchange for your soul? What would you give in exchange for your soul, that you wouldn't die and go to hell? He that will save his own life to live the way he wants to do the things he wants to, he's going to lose his life, his eternal life. But if you're tonight are willing to give up your natural life for your own pleasure, for your own glory, and to serve Jesus and the gospel, then guess what? You're going to save your eternal life. Your eternal life is much more important than this natural life. Let me tell you something. All the money in the world can't buy your way out of hell.
That's right.
When you die, if you die lost, if God comes tonight and says, "Your soul's demanded of you tonight," there ain't enough money in the world you can give the Lord to take you to heaven.
That's right.
Your money can't save you. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. If a man believes on me, though he were dead, yet he shall live." And if you're alive and believe on me, Jesus said, you shall never die. And then he said, "Believest thou this?" This is tough. Jesus is saying, "I am the resurrection. I raise people from the dead." He said, "I am the resurrection. If a man is alive, like we are, and we believe on Jesus, we shall never die." Now that doesn't mean that this body isn't going to pass away and go back to the earth. He means that your soul is going to have everlasting life in Him, and therefore you're never going to die. Death has no power over us. We're in this body. We're separate from God. But when our soul leaves our body, we go right to heaven to be with the Lord. Amen. So, if we believe in Jesus and are alive, we're never going to die. If a person is in the grave, if a person went by the way of the grave, though he were dead, yet he's going to live. Now listen, church, are we too busy dying after the things of this life to live for Christ? There's the question. The church has a problem today too, folks. The church is caught up in possessions. The church is caught up in getting ahead. The church is caught up in that American dream of having a bigger home, a newer car, a bigger bank account. Now listen, folks, there's nothing wrong with a nice new home. Lord Jesus, my wife wants a new home. And she give her the faith to get it. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with a new home. I'm going to tell you, there isn't anything wrong with a new car.
Amen.
But they're only possessions that God gives us to provide for us out of His love. If you'll seek first Jesus and the kingdom of God, if you'll seek God first, then He'll add these other things to you. Amen. He said, lay not your treasures upon the earth, where the rust can eat it up and the moths can destroy it and thieves can steal it. But rather, lay your treasures, the true treasures, up in heaven. For where your true treasure is, that's your good deeds to God. That's the things you've done for Jesus in this life. Then your heart will be where your treasure is and you'll want to go to heaven.
Right.
What's happening, people lay their treasures up down here on the earth. Their new homes, their new cars, new boats and all that, which nothing wrong with, but they love those things. They love those things more than they love God. They worship their car and their home and their possessions as an idol. No, they don't maybe bow down to it and pray, car save me, or boat save me. But let me tell you something. The Bible says anything that you put before Jesus is an idol.
That's right.
And so thank God for what He gives us, but don't be in love with it. Because if you're in love with it, you're not going to want to go to heaven. You're going to stay right here with your goods. So, amen. Church, people are too busy to repent. They're too busy to get baptized in Jesus' name. And they're too busy to seek God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They're too busy to live a holy life. Be you holy and be you separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you unto myself. God is looking for a people that have separated themselves from the sin of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world.
Amen.
The Bible says, come out from among them and be you separate. And be you holy, saith the Lord, and I'll receive you unto myself. Think about that. Church, let us be too busy living for Jesus to even have the time to die. Let's be too busy serving God, we won't have to worry about death.
Amen.
It has no hold on me. Amen. I'm living for Jesus Christ, and when I die, I'm going right into heaven. Amen. Now, folks, tonight, I want you just to listen as I read. Amen. I'm going to read out of the book of Acts. You've got to have a doctrine. The Bible says you've got to be rooted and grounded in the doctrine. You've got to be sound in faith and doctrine. Doctrine means teaching. We preach and teach the doctrine of what thus saith the Lord. And I'm here to tell you tonight that in the book of Acts, in your Bibles, in chapter 2, starting at verse 1, the Bible tells me that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. I'm telling you, there was 120 people that was in a place called the Upper Room. And there they were waiting for the promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost to come back upon them, which Jesus said to them, I will not leave you comfortless. Yes, I must go away. I'm going back into heaven. But if I go back into heaven, I'm going to send back the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is Jesus Christ. It's His Spirit. He said, I'm going to send you back the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is everlasting life. And He said, I'm going to send back that gift to you, but I want you to go back to Jerusalem now, and I want you to wait there and tarry until you receive this promise. And the Bible says that the apostles of Jesus, Mary the mother of Jesus, and 120 believers was in this upper room. And suddenly, there came a sound out of heaven. Yes, we spoke this before, folks, but I want you to get it down in your heart and mind. This is salvation I'm talking to you about tonight. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Can you hear that wind? Can you imagine being in an upper room with 120 believers of Jesus? You're waiting for the gift of the Holy Ghost to come back. And suddenly you hear a sound like a rushing mighty wind. And it fills all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it settled on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with other tongues, other languages, as the Spirit of God give the utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this occurred, there was people in Jerusalem from every nation under heaven. And the Bible says that when it was noised abroad, when that Holy Ghost came into that upper room, amen, it somehow, the whole city heard about it. And they all come rushing in to hear what was going on. And it says here, and when it was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. They were confused. They were in awe because they heard every man speak in his own language. And they were amazed and they marveled and they said one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? These Galileans could only speak the language of the Jews. They could not speak other languages, but yet they were. And now we hear every man in our own language where we were born. It said they were speaking Parthians, they're speaking Medes, they're speaking Emilites. Tonight we're speaking on the book of Acts. We're in chapter 2 of the book of Acts. Amen. And we're speaking about the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We're speaking about in the Word of God, in chapter 2, verse 1, where it said, amen, that they were all one accord in one place. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound out of heaven. Amen. But the Bible says, and suddenly there came a sound out of heaven. We need to get excited about that. Amen. Suddenly there came a sound out of heaven like a rushing, mighty wind. Amen. We got to get, amen, on our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears that we can hear. The Spirit says, amen, he that hath ear to hear, let him hear.
Yes.
Suddenly there came a sound out of heaven. And amen, like a rushing, mighty wind. And the Bible says, amen, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. It said, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. Tongues. Amen. I know some people get confused about that, and some people get leery of that. But we know, amen, that it means languages. Amen. And we know that cloven means diverse languages. And we know that God performed a miracle here. Amen. He said, amen, I'll not leave you comfortless. Jesus said, but I go away, I'm going to send back the Comforter.
Yeah.
He said, I want you to go and preach this gospel to all creatures, beginning in Judea. Amen. Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. He said, but tarry in Jerusalem till you're endowed with power from on high. Amen. That Holy Ghost was not automatic. Amen. They waited. The 120 was in the upper room waiting for the gift of the Holy Ghost. And it came in like a rushing mighty wind. Amen. And the cloven tongues like as a fire set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And they began to speak with other tongues, other languages, as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. God's Spirit, united with their spirit, cried out, Abba, Father, that they were a child of God. Amen. It was their voice. It was their vocal cords. But God, amen, He spoke through them. Amen. And He glorified and He magnified God. Amen. This was a miracle. I say it was a miracle. The Bible says that there was others, amen, other devout Jews from every nation under the sun that were in Jerusalem. Amen. And when this was noised abroad, that they all came and they were all amazed because they heard these native Galileans, these that could only speak, amen, the language of the Jews. And it says, yet we hear them speaking in the nations wherein we were born.
Yeah.
Amen. And then they said, what do we hear them saying? They were amazed, and some were in doubt, and others saying, what meaneth this? Amen. But even at this time, even at this greatest of all miracles, this baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I'll expound to you tonight that the Word of God says that all animals in this earth have been and can be tamed to man. The birds of the air can be tamed to man. The beasts of the field can be tamed to man. And the animals in the sea can be tamed to man. But no man can tame the tongue. Amen. This tongue is like as a, amen, it's a very small member of the body, but yet it says as a poison asp. Amen. With your tongue, you will praise God and you'll curse your brother, which is made in the image of God. This ought not to be. The Bible says no man can tame this tongue. But folks, Jesus Christ can and He does tame your tongue. And He tames your tongue when the Holy Ghost comes in and sanctifies you, and God takes control of your tongue, and the Lord speaks through you, and He gives praise and honor and glory unto the Most High.
Right.
Amen. But at this time, as I was going to say, Satan raises up his head. Satan wants to destroy all things that are good and of God. Now, we thank God that Satan has no power except what the Lord allows him to have. Satan is a deceiver. Satan is a liar.
Yes.
Satan is the father of all lies.
Right.
And his power is in deception, in lies.
Amen.
Be not deceived. But Satan put into the hearts of men to say, these men are full of new wine. That's in verse 13.
Mm-hmm.
These men are full of new wine. Imagine. That tells me, brother, sisters, that when the Holy Ghost comes on somebody, they must look intoxicated. They must be like you would see one that's drunk. The Bible says, amen, do not be a drunkard, for a drunkard mocks the Spirit of God.
Right.
Amen. So these people that received the Holy Ghost must have looked intoxicated.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. They must have been shouting. They must have been dancing. They must have been praising God. They was completely beside themselves. Amen. And so the others began to mock them. But praise God, by the Word of God, Peter, this Peter is a very important man. Peter is a very important man. We make a lot of comments about Peter, that he was rash, amen, that he was headstrong, amen, and that Peter, amen, he made some mistakes. But when I read the Word of God, amen, Peter may have been rash, amen, but Peter was the only one that even asked the Lord to step out of the boat.
Right.
Amen, the other 11 didn't even step out of the boat, so how can you criticize Peter
who
stepped out, amen, and began to walk?
Yeah.
Praise God. Amen, and then to let you know that it wasn't in the power of Peter, amen, the women began to be boisterous and he began to be afraid. He began to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. And the Lord reached out to go home and he said, oh, thou little faith. He had some faith.
Yeah.
He'd stepped out of the boat.
He sure did.
But he didn't get proud because he knew that, amen, if God hadn't got a hold of him, he's going to sink.
Right.
Amen. This same Peter, amen, Jesus said, Peter, Satan desires you that he may sift you as wheat.
Yeah.
But I pray the Father for you that you not be led into temptation. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren.
Yes.
That word converted. Peter was converted on the day of Pentecost. He was converted right here, amen, when the Holy Ghost was poured out. Jesus said, amen, when you're converted, strengthen your brother. This same Peter, the Lord gave the keys. He gave him the keys of salvation. This same Peter, in his own self, said, Lord, I'll never deny you. Lord, I'll go with you even unto death. And the Lord looks at him and said, Peter, before the cock crows, you'll deny me thrice. Folks, not only did Peter say, I'll go with you unto death, but the other 10 said, we'll go with you unto death also.
Yeah.
But only Peter managed to follow along when they took Jesus in.
Amen.
The others scattered.
Right.
But Peter, in his own strength, his own self, had the strength enough that he tried to go and to be there at the time of the Lord's trial. And we know by the Word of God that when he was spotted, when he was recognized, and when they said, surely you're one of them, he denied the Lord. Amen. And then the Bible says that when the cock crew, he went out and wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. He was sorrowful. But folks, not by strength, not by might, but by my Spirit, saith God.
Yes.
It's not he that wills. It's not he that runs, but it's on whom the Lord shows mercy. We're saved by grace through faith. We don't earn this thing. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. You aren't going to earn heaven. You're not going to buy heaven. And you're not going to make yourself righteous.
Right.
Amen. Abraham, he believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham believed God.
Yes.
We today, we believe the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe the Word of God, and our faith is counted for righteousness. Not our righteousness. All of our righteousness is filthy righteousness, but the Lord's righteousness.
Amen.
Praise God. Verse 15. For these aren't drunken as you suppose, since but the third hour of the day, but this is that. You know, people, we need to get rooted and grounded in the faith, and we need to get sound in doctrine. Amen. We're living in a day and a time, amen, that people don't want to hear the word doctrine. But the Bible says, amen, that we need to be rooted and grounded in doctrine. We don't need to be blown of every wind of doctrine. The Bible says a man is blown of every wind of doctrine and he's unstable in all of his ways. He isn't going to receive anything from God.
Yeah.
We've got to be rooted and grounded in the faith. We've got to be sound in the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And it is Peter that the Lord chose to speak on this day. And Peter said, these people aren't drunk. But this is that which was promised by the prophet prophet Joel. In the last days, saith God, I'm going to pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh.
Amen.
This is a great promise. Peter said, hey, this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. In the last day, said God, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Your old men are going to dream dreams, and your young men are going to have visions, and I'm going to pour out my spirit upon your handmaidens, that's your servants, and your men servants, and they're going to prophesy.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Not only when you receive the Holy Ghost, amen, will you speak with other tongues, the Spirit of God give utterance, amen, but there's nine gifts of that Holy Ghost, and one of those gifts is prophecy.
Amen.
And they will be those that will prophesy. Thus saith the Lord. If you go to Acts chapter 2, verse 22, we'll continue on. And as Peter began to preach, he said, you men of Israel, hear these words. Folks, do you have the ears to hear? Jesus Christ said, I speak, but you do not hear me. You do not hear me because my word is not in you. He says, I do what I see my Father do. And he said, you do what you see your Father do. That was a bold statement. I mean, it makes words with me.
Yeah.
He said, I do what I see my Father do. He said, and you do what you see your Father do. He said, if I deny and I do what my Father does, I'd be a liar like you are. He said, but you do what you see your Father do. And then he went on to say, your Father's the devil.
Yeah.
So what do? They want to stone him to death. Let me tell you, amen. Every time Jesus did something good, people get upset. Amen. He went into the city and began to preach the Word of God. And when he began to expound the Word of God, the city got upset with him. They took him out to the brow of the hill, and they're going to throw him over. And Jesus walked through the midst of them. The wonderful thing is that the Lord Jesus said, my time has not yet come.
Amen.
It wasn't time for him to go to the cross. But he said something. He said, my time has not yet come, but your time is always with you. That means you could die in your next breath.
Yeah.
Amen. Your time is always with you. Praise God. But here, the apostle, he said, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, you all know. Yourselves all know this. Him being delivered by the determined counsel of the foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands you have crucified and slain. Whom Jesus, whom God hath raised up, have loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that Jesus should be held of it.
Amen.
For David speaketh concerning Jesus, for I foresaw the Lord always before my face. For he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will I suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Peter is preaching boldly to these people, and he's beginning to tell them, this Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, whom God hath raised from the dead, God has made both Lord and Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And so as you read this Word of God, as Peter preached this, he said, you took Jesus and slayed him.
Mm-hmm.
But the wonderful thing is, Jesus looked at Pilate and he said, you don't take my life, I give it. He said, I have the power. I can call down legions of angels, and they can deliver me. Amen? Because Pilate said, will you not speak for yourself? Don't you know I have the power of life and death here? He said, no. Jesus chose to go to the cross.
Yes.
No man put him on that cross.
Right.
Amen? He didn't go in defeat. He went in victory. Amen? He overcame death, hell, and the grave.
Amen?
Amen. And David, King David, being a prophet, prophesied of the coming of the Lord Jesus. And he prophesied and said, thou wilt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Now, folks, I'm telling you that when Jesus Christ was on that cross, the Bible says that he looked up and said, Father, receive you my spirit. I believe that a man is body, spirit, and soul. The body is the flesh. The spirit is the breath of life. And the Word of God says that Jesus said, receive you my spirit, and he give up the ghost. Well, his soul didn't go into heaven at that time because the Bible says his soul went into heaven. Amen. And there, it preached in the imprisoned souls.
Amen.
Your soul is who you are. Your soul is your intellect. It's your knowing who you are. And that soul will live forever either with the Lord in paradise, either with the Lord in peace, love, and joy, or it's going to have a living eternal death. Nobody likes to talk about hell. Hell's not a popular subject. But hell's real.
Yes, sir.
And the soul that sins shall surely die.
Yes.
what it says.
Amen. Thank God he made a spiritual way you could die out the sin without having to die in your body.
Right.
Amen. That you could, amen, to live. And you could be born again. Amen. And so the Word of God says, this Jesus, Acts 2, verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being on the right hand of God, exalted, and having received the promise of the Father, the gift of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed this on us, which you now see and hear. There's what Peter said to these folks. What you see here is the gift of God Almighty sending back the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. And what is the Holy Ghost?
Jesus.
Amen. The Word of God tells me, amen, if the same Spirit that dwelt in Jesus, if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that same Spirit will quicken your mortal body.
Amen.
It took the Holy Ghost to bring Jesus Christ out of the grave. It's going to take the Holy Ghost, amen, to raise us. Praise God. Amen. But here it says, amen, this Jesus have God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Verse 34, for David is not ascended into heaven, but he himself said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Amen. Do you know that in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah prophesied, amen, he said, amen, the Lord, he said, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give unto another. He is the Lord God. That is his name. That is his title. He is the Lord. Another place it says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, my servant whom I have chosen, that you might understand and believe that before me, before him, no God was created, neither shall there be any God created after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. That was Jehovah God of the Old Testament. That was Yahweh of the Old Testament. Amen. But in the New Testament, amen, the Word of God says the angel appeared unto Mary and said, you shall bring forth a son, his name shall be called Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. And so Jesus Christ is our Savior.
Amen.
If Jesus Christ is our Savior in the New Testament, then in the Old Testament the Lord said, I'm the Savior. Amen. And according to his Word, praise God, Jesus Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. Now, folks, this is where we stand tonight. In verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord God and Christ, anointed one. Christ is the one anointed of the Holy Ghost. It spoke many times of Christ in the Old Testament, but it never said Jesus. They never knew his name. But Christ, amen, is that one which is anointed of the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ. Amen. But when they heard this, the multitude of people that came to hear, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now this is the Peter that Jesus said, Peter, Satan desired you that he could sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you when you're converted, strengthen your brothers. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up. He stood up with not only himself, but the 11 apostles, because they chose one to take Jesus' place. So there were the 12 apostles. The other 11 stood up with Peter. And when they stood up with Peter, and when Peter spoke, Peter said unto them, when the people said, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? Then Peter said unto them, repent. Have godly sorrow for your sins. Turn from your sins. Ask God to forgive you your sins. And be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and unto your children and to those that are far off, even as many as the Lord thy God shall call. Now folks, was talking about being rooted and grounded in the faith. Was talking about being sound in doctrine. This doctrine that we preach and teach is the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same doctrine that Peter spoke on the day of Pentecost. When Peter said these words, the other apostles did not jump up, did not criticize Peter, did not tell Peter he told the people a lie. But they all agreed with Peter. They all had an understanding. And Peter was the voice that God had chosen. And when Peter said, repent, the Word of God tells us that we must tell the Lord we're sorry for our sins. And telling God we're sorry is more than just saying I'm sorry, but it means that you make a turnaround, you change your life, and you turn from sin. And yet the Word of God says here, Peter didn't say, okay, folks, repent, receive the Holy Ghost. No, he said, be baptized. Amen? Be baptized. Did not Jesus speak to Nicodemus in the book of John? Did he not speak and say, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter in to the kingdom of heaven. For that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Folks, in order to be born again, you've got to die out to sin. Amen? And the Bible says, the soul that sins shall surely die. It goes on to say, you have all sinned. You have all fallen short of the glory of God. You were conceived in iniquity, you was born in sin. We preach and teach, amen, an Adamic sin. We preach and teach that because of Adam, amen, all flesh was lost. The Bible says that the first Adam was of the earth earthly. God formed him out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The Bible says, though, that there are two Adams. And that the second Adam was the Lord God from heaven. The second perfect man. Adam was a perfect man when he was created. Amen. Jesus Christ was a perfect man. Amen. And the Bible says, because of Adam's sin, sin passed upon all flesh. We inherited sin unto death from Adam. Even though we did not sin after the same similitude as Adam, yet death passed upon us. And we could say, my God, I didn't ask for this. Hey, I didn't even ask to be born. Now I find out that I'm lost and I'm on the way to hell. Amen. And I had no control over it. It don't seem fair. But the Bible tells me God is fair. Amen. If by one man's sin, sin entered into the world and death by sin, then by one man's righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ, all men can be saved. So God is fair. Amen. God has made a way for us. Amen. God can't lie. He says, a soul that sins shall surely die. And so God had to make a way that you and I could die out to sin without dying in the natural body. And He did that, amen, through baptism. Amen. The Bible says, if you read on, amen, in the book of Romans chapter 6, know you not, as many of you that have been baptized into Jesus was baptized into His death. And even as Jesus rose from the dead, even though we come up out of that watery grave, a new creature, the old man, the carnal man, that unborn again man from Adam, amen, was put to death in the baptism. The old man was put to death in the baptism. When we come up out of that watery grave, we become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Behold, all old things are gone, all things become new. Amen. And the Bible says, amen, therefore, that we should not allow sin to reign in our mortal body. We was once the servants of sin before we were born again, but now we're the servants of God. Amen. Now we have the power through the Holy Ghost to live above sin. We didn't have that power before. We were servants of sin. We were slaves to sin. And that which I would do, I did not do. And that which I would not do is what I did. And then I found that, amen, that there was a law for me. When I do good, He was always present. Amen. Amen. And I said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank my God through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom I have now received the atonement. Amen. This is the doctrine that we preach and teach. Amen. That a man must be born again. Amen. Born of water and of spirit. And the Word of God here says, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. I have studied this thing for years. Amen. I've asked the Lord to give me understanding, give me knowledge, give me wisdom. Amen. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, with the stammering lips and another tongue, I'll speak to this people. All that. For this is the rest. Whereby the cause of the weary to rest. They received it on the day of Pentecost. Amen. And what I'm saying here tonight, and be baptized in the name of Jesus for remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Do you know that there was an Apostle Paul? An Apostle Paul we know was Saul of Tarsus. We know that Saul, amen, went about persecuting the church. And we know that Saul saw a great light from, amen, on the road to Damascus. We know that the Lord spoke to him. And we know that, amen, that he went into a city called the Strait. And we know there he fasted, amen, 3 days. We know he was blind. We know a man named Ananias came into him. The Lord prophesied to Ananias, spoke to him in a vision, said, go pray for this one Saul that he may receive his sight. And the Word of God says that that Ananias came in and said, Brother Saul, he said, I've come to pray for you. You might receive the Holy Ghost. You might receive your sight. Amen. And as he prayed for him, the scales fell from Paul's eyes, and Paul received the amen, his sight. And then when Paul later went and he testified before Felix and before Festus the governor, he said in his vision, he said, this one named Ananias came to me, and he said, Brother Saul, now why tarriest thou? He said, rise up and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. He said, Brother Saul, now why tarriest thou? Rise up and be baptized and wash away your sins. Amen. God made this plan of salvation. And then he says, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let's stand tonight, folks. Amen. We want you to know, praise God, that our God is a wonderful God. Amen. And that God is still saving folks today. Praise God. God is still saving folks today. God is not a respecter of persons today. God is still giving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Our God has not changed. A person can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost just like they did on the day of Pentecost. Amen. By faith. All one must do is repent of one's sins. God has the power that He can fill you with the Holy Ghost even before you're baptized. But by His Word, we obey His commandments and we are baptized. Whether we receive the Holy Ghost first or whether we receive the Holy Ghost after baptism.